All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you once again, Father, for this opportunity to sit under your word. Thank you right now, Holy Spirit, have your way. We ask everyone, heart, minds, and ears be open, that we receive something we never heard before. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all know God loves coffee? Yeah. Because I want you to go to Hebrews 3 and 7. Oh, yeah. Corny, huh? How you know God loves coffee? Hebrews, you know. Okay. Hebrews 3 and 7. Like, huh? Just had to break that one in. We're going to be dealing with the subject matter, living in an attitude of prayer. Living with an attitude of prayer. So I want you to take good notes, because there's going to be some a lot of stuff said tonight. But we're going to be dealing with living with the attitude of prayer. Hebrews 3 and 7. King James Version says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice." I like the Amplified Version says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice." Every success in life is based upon the strength of your prayer life. Your life is going to be as strong as you pray. Prayer is a necessary discipline in the life of every believer, because it authorizes God to get involved in your situations and your circumstances. When we begin to pray and pray right and begin to have an attitude of prayer, it causes God to get involved in our situations and our circumstances. The most powerful thing any human being can do is pray. What's the most powerful thing you can do? It's pray. I'm going to give you a few principles and a lot of different things tonight, but I think it's going to be a blessing to you with this particular subject matter. First thing I want you to know is it is important to hear God's voice in your day-to-day life. That's why I want to use Hebrews 3 and 7, because it says, God said, hear his voice when? Today. But the only way that you can hear God's voice today is if you spend time with God today. See, because my opening statement was, prayer is a necessary discipline in the life of every believer, because it authorizes God to get involved in our situations and our circumstances. So every time or every day when we pray, we open the door for God to get involved in every situation and every circumstance in our life. It may be something you don't even know you're about to encounter yet. But if you hear God's voice today, he'll begin to tell you, pray about this now. You don't know why you're praying it, but you will pray it. And then once again, remember we pray. If we pray, it's going into the heaven, it's going to the ears of God. So God now can handle that circumstance situation before it even arises. All right? God is still speaking. And many times we think that God only spoke to those who are old in the Bible, but can I tell you, God is still speaking. Our apostles live and prove that God is still speaking. But the question is, if God's speaking, don't answer, can you hear him? How much time are you spending with God to hear his voice? Do you recognize his voice? There's a scripture that says that God said, if my people will humble themselves and what? Pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Did you hear that? If my people just humble themselves and pray. That's the first rule he gave. Pray. And then turn from your ways, that then I can hear from heaven. Don't ever forget to write this down. Don't forget it. You're going to see it again. Refuse to trust yourself more than you do God. Refuse to trust yourself more than you do God. I like using illustration. I had given illustration a while back, and I always get an illustration whenever I teach it. The Bible says, lean not to thy own what? Lean not to thy own what? The statement is, never refuse to trust yourself more than you trust God. Lean not to thy own what? Some of you may have never seen the illustration. I'm going to do it again. Come here, Brother Rod. It said, refuse to trust yourself more than you do God. Lean not to thy own what? Understanding. So what happens is, I'm going to lean to you, Rod. Hold me. Turn sideways. No, this way. Put your hand here. Hold me. I'm going to lean on you. All right? Don't let me fall. I love using example. All right? Now, I'm putting all my weight on him. You see, he turned red, right? Now watch this. He's hurting because he's not supposed to be holding me up. He's my own understanding. Lean not on thy own. Because, thank you, man. Because what happens is, yeah, because see, what happens is, I'm leaning on something God never designed to sustain me. My own understanding can't hold me long enough. It'll fail me every time. So I have to refuse to trust myself or my own understanding more than I trust God. Because if I do, eventually, he's going to let me fall. And then we're going to be boxing again. No, I'm just but you get the example, right? Watch this. What is prayer? Prayer is adding your agreement to what God has already done. So when you're praying, we're not praying something that's inconceivable. We're not praying something that's impossible. What we're praying is, we're praying in agreement with God what has already been done. Prayer is also saying to God what he has already said in his word. Just take his word and get back to him. We quote the scripture all the time. His word should not return to him. Not your word, but so all you got to do is speak his word, and his word is going to produce whatever you need to produce. Simple, man. Prayer is simple. God gave mankind dominion and authority over the earth. Go to Luke 10. And those of you in the spirit already know what verse I'm going to. Because my statement was, you have authority and absolute mastery over the enemy. Jesus. In prayer, when you have the attitude, living the attitude of prayer, when you understand this, you have authority, and look at the word, and absolute mastery over the enemy. Luke 10, 19. What did it say? Behold, giving you authority and power to trample upon the serpent and the scorpions of the enemy. Go ahead. What? Nothing. Nothing. Say nothing. Oh, Lord. When you learn how to pray properly. You have the authority, the absolute mastery over there because God has given you the authority. He says, no weapon formed against me shall what? He never said it wouldn't fall. He said it won't prosper though, because I have authority through prayer to make that thing stop. When I recognize who I am in God, in Christ, through the cross, through the victory of Jesus Christ. You see that? Alright. When you do not pray, watch what happens. When you do not pray, you fail to authorize heaven's involvement in your affairs. Every time you refuse to pray, that's why he said, every day you got to pray, every day you got to hear his voice, because every time you refuse, the apostle was talking, he alluded to this earlier in his message this afternoon, this evening, when he said, how did he say it? You give the enemy a channel, you give him a way in, all right? So what happens is, when you don't pray, unforgiveness or something may get into you, and what happens, when that hits, you can't pray properly now because you got a spirit on you. And so what happens is when you don't pray now, the heavens can't get involved in that situation because you got to deal with some other things first. Write this down. You're going to see this again. Internet, you're going to see it again. What you display in public is the result of private time you spend with God. What you display in public is a result of your private time you spend with God. In other words, whatever your life is detecting right now or depicting to somebody, that lets me know how much time you spend with God in prayer. A life without prayer is a life of failure. No prayer, no success. No prayer, failure. Prayer, success. Prayer, prosperity. Prayer, deliverance. Prayer, miracle. No prayer, nothing. Point number two. Pray the will of God for your life, not your own will. See, because when you begin to pray and have an attitude of prayer, when you begin to pray the will of God for your life and not your own will, God now will begin to show you what you need to do for your life. First, you seek the kingdom of heaven and his what? Righteousness. Seek what God wants you to do first, and in seeking God, God will take care of everything else. See, a lot of times we have the misinterpretation of prayer. When a lot of times we go to prayer seeking something for ourselves. And that's not how the kingdom of God operates properly. When you begin to pray and intercede for others, or begin to pray to God, God, what you need me to do today? Who you need me to talk to? Yeah, you're going through. Yeah, you got issues. Yeah, you got to pay the light bill. Yeah, you got to pay the car note. But you go to God and ask God, God, what you need me to do? God will take care of that while you're doing what he tell you to do. Jesus spent a considerable time in prayer each day, praying for the success of his mission, which was the will of God for his life. Watch. Don't ever come to God as if he's your personal genie. Seek his will for your life. Now watch this. I like this. Discipline yourself to pray for an hour every day. Now, somebody may say, in here on the internet, you may say, well, life is just too fast. I got to get kids, I got groceries, I got to do this, I got to do that. I didn't say you had to stop for 1 hour and pray. See, when you're getting up, brushing your teeth in the morning, how long you take? Hope it take a little while. But when you're up, while you're brushing your teeth, washing your face, get yourself, you could be praying. That take you 15, 20, 30 minutes, depending on women. They got to do makeup, hair, and all. It may take a little longer. With women, you take a whole lot. So y'all got a whole hour to take care of yourself. Brothers, you know, we might take a little extra more time. But what I'm saying is, why you riding to work? Turn Ricky's smile on. Don't be waiting for juice. No, just turn it on and just pray while he's going to work. See, you already 30 minutes getting ready. 25, 30 minutes work. You done prayed for an hour already. Don't tell me you ain't got time to pray an hour. You see it? Even if you got to break it down, when you get to lunch break, by yourself, pray for 5 or 10 minutes. When you headed back home, pray for 5 or 10 minutes. When you're at the grocery store, Walmart, with that bucket, let me see, I need this chicken here. Pray while you picking up the chicken when you do Walmart. So what I'm saying, discipline yourself to pray each hour. The hour is important because I think it's significant. Every great man of God I've read behind, I've studied, they all start off with an hour. Now, they're so trained now with apostle, he prayed 3-4 hours now because he's so developed, he's so trained. But when you discipline yourself to pray for an hour, it'll increase. And the more time you spend with God, the more you hear from God. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Write for your note purposes when you read for when you want to. Matthew 26, 36 and 39. That's when Jesus went off and they came back in the morning sleep. He said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? I think the hour was significant. That hour, it takes a disciplined person to pray for an hour. I told you, because we saw all kind of things start happening. Dog, you start thinking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to cook, who said something, and what's going on. Lord, I'm tired, I'm sleepy. You'll never get sleepy until you start to pray. You can have a whole bunch to do. Let's say, I'm going to rest for 1 minute. I'm going to just sit out and pray. Oh, and just get sleepy. Don't be like disciples who cannot stay awake for an hour and pray. Jesus is consistently interceding for you. Jesus is constantly praying. He's constantly interceding. And Jesus is our example. When you pray, principle three, when you pray, when you have this attitude of prayer, when you pray, pray in the spirit. Praying in the spirit builds you up, your soul, your spirit, and your body. When you pray in the spirit for an hour, you would have the peace of God and things would be well with you. Next principle. Go to Luke 11. You should be somewhere near it right now. Luke 11. And understand this. Prayer must be taught. See, a lot of people, you heard Pastor talk about the guy earlier about praying, how good he sounds and all that kind of stuff. That's what we thought for a long time. We thought that's what prayer was. You know, just sounding good, having a good voice and all that. They scared me out there, boy. Because we had youth Sunday. And we just had that wall up. And if you're facing me, if you sat on the right, you had to read the scripture. But if you was on this side, you had to pray. So as junior deacons, we always fight who's going to sit this side, because we didn't want to pray. Because we didn't sound like them. We thought it was a sound. We thought it was a certain way, so we didn't want to pray. We didn't sound like Pastor, the guy that had them four voices when they pray, oh Lord. I can't do that. And then we tried, and it was just horrible, man. God just, he I know he just laughed at it. He said, they don't know. So you got to be taught how to pray. Luke 11, 1 through 4. And it came to pass that when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one disciple said to the Lord, what did they ask? So apparently you can't be taught how to pray. You see that? Many people believe they know how to pray. However, they need someone, they need to know how to pray correctly according to God's word. And all you're doing in prayer, in a successful prayer, having the attitude of prayer, all we're doing, as we said earlier, is repeating God's word back to him. Whatever you believe in God for, go to your corners, find the scriptures, and just repeat back to God what it is you need. You don't have to try to be so deep. And so just talk to him like he is your friend. Just talk to him like you talk to your girl. Say, God, this is me, Evelyn. I need you. You know what I need. I don't know how this is going to happen, Father, but I believe you, because your word says you never leave me nor forsake me. And see, when you start doing that, catches God's attention. He not worried about you snotting and crying. That's not going to get his attention. I can see God just looking at it. What is he doing? Because, yeah, I tried that when I was younger. I don't know. I'm being honest. You know, you did something, you end up in love. You know, you get like this, it's time we ever do it to get lost. And you're lying. You're lying. Because your heart's not there. You're trying to sound good to me. And the Bible says God don't look on man, but he looks at the what? The heart. So you crying before people say, that don't do nothing to God. Glory to God. Watch this. You must develop a desire to pray. Jesus. It's about to be fall time. It's getting cool outside. We down south. People finna start getting a desire for some good gumbo. Yeah, I heard somebody. Yeah, we ready for some crabs and some nice shrimp and sausage and whatever y'all put there. Some people put neck bones and oysters, whatever you put in your gumbo, that's your business. Okra, some people don't like okra, it's too slimy, whatever you put in there. But what happens is, when you get a desire for that gumbo, you're going to say, girl, I'm going to Walmart, I'm going to give you some good crawfish, give me some good shrimp, and you just get excited, and that gumbo will be good. I don't care how spicy it is, how hot it is. And you eat it, it's hot, and you right in your nose, but you're still eating. Because you had a desire for that gumbo. Yes, sir. Well, just like you have a desire for something perfect, you got to have a desire to pray. You got to have a desire when you wake up in the morning with the crust in your eyes and, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a desire, man. Lord, I don't care what's going to happen today, but I'm going to spend some time with you. Yes, sir. Yes. Baby, I'll tell your husband, I'll tell you right, baby, I love you, but I ain't praying today. But we're going to hold on separate for 1 hour. Give me 1 hour. So I'm going to talk to the Lord. Improve my intake better. Hallelujah. Transform your prayer life from discipline to desire to a delight. Yes, sir. Transform your prayer life from discipline to desire to delight. Note purposes, Matthew 21:12-16. Matthew 21:12-16 is when Jesus cleans the temple. He said, y'all made this a house of thieves. But Jesus said, but this is a house of prayer. This is a house of purity. Then the temple became a house of prayer. Let's go there. Let's go ahead. Let's do it. Because I think I like what the Amplified Version said. Matthew 21:12. Yeah, that's what it was. I wanted to read that from Amplified. Matthew 21. Look what I'm reading from Amplified Version. What did he say? With the King James Version says, and Jesus went in the temple of God and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, the Amplified Version says this, and Jesus went into the temple, the whole temple enclosed, and drove all of them out. I like it. See, I like the term he said, the whole temple. In other words, he's saying, watch what he said. The whole house will be a house of purity. The whole house. The whole house. He didn't just go talk to the choir. He didn't go talk to the greeters. He took care of everything. He took care of everybody. He leave nobody out. Look, what is he saying? He said, as a whole, the temple, the body of Christ, we all got to be pure. We all got to have to be in the right place. Listen, look what he said. You tell me, my house is a house of prayer. So he had the clean house to put the purity back where needed. Here we are in 2013. God is asking for the same thing. He said, I need a house of prayer. I need a people who gonna intercede, a people who gonna pray, a people who go. That's why this apostolic. And all the things here, you hear us keep talking about this apostolic, because this is gonna be the sweeping that's gonna clean the house to bring the purity back, to bring the prayer back, to bring the worship back. That's gonna cause the supernatural to happen. It's the only way it's gonna happen. You gonna see it? I assure you. You seeing it now? In other words, you must drive out everything that's inferior in your life. You must become a house of purity before you become. Watch it. Ooh, Jesus. You must become a house of purity before you become a house of power. See, we want the power, but we're not pure yet. And in order to be have a successful prayer, have a good attitude of prayer, it has to be pure. What happens? Listen to this question. What happens when it's no longer a chore to pray? What happens? Actually, I'm about to tell you. Glad you asked. You have now moved from discipline to a delight. The best way I can explain that, an example, a long time ago, I used to teach like single stuff for a while, whatever, but I have some information, and they said there are three phases to relationships. You have your enchanted, you're disenchanted, and your maturity. Enchanted. You got to be at work for 8 o'clock in the morning. He or she calls you at 6:15. Hello? You up?
Yeah.
I just called to make sure you wasn't late.
Thank you. I was going home to sleep.
What you eat for lunch?
I don't know.
I'm going to bring you something.
Thank you. Man. You're so sweet. You ain't got to do that.
You enchanted. She get to work at 8 o'clock. You call. You made the work yet?
Yeah, I'm here. Girl, he's so sweet. He just check on me.
About 2 months, same phone call, 6 o'clock. What? Why you call me so early? Now you mad. So we ain't call you the next morning. Now you mad. Why you ain't call me? Well, you gonna be tripping. I'm gonna call you for. You know what? Don't even worry about it. Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But then you get back to the enchanted. This now you get to the maturity stage. Now maturity stage, one or two things will happen. If you mature enough now to say, you know what, this relationship ain't gonna work. Or either you understand it now and say, okay, I understand, you understand me, we got this thing, we're gonna begin to work this thing out. So at first, you ask him, baby, can I get a glass of water? Hey, whatever you want, sweetie. Now when he asks you, this man sitting right there, just left out the kitchen. I'ma get it, because now it's a discipline now. So you're gonna do it, but you really don't wanna do it. But when you get back to that enchanted stage again, that maturity stage, you say, baby, I'm tired, but you know what? I'm going to get it for you anyway. And you're going to get it in peace. Because now it's not a discipline, but it's a delight. That's how the word is. That's how it is when you pray. You know, you wake up, Lord, gee, I know I need to pray, but Lord have mercy. Then he wanted oatmeal. If I gotta fix lunch, have mercy. There's just a whole bunch of stuff be going on. But when you watch it, so what happens when prayer no longer becomes a chore? You become a house of prayer, a house of power, and now miracles will begin to take place. See, but it has to become a delight. It has to be something you enjoy doing. See, because it's a stinky savor to God's nose if it's a chore or a job to God. When you hear, because God can hear your prayer, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. You don't mean that. You're doing that because you think, no. It got to be real in the ears of God. You know, it ain't got to be nothing serious. You got to wake up, Lord, thank you. Lord, my husband, he ain't doing what I asked him to do, but Lord, bless him anyhow. I'm serious. Just, can you just start praying? Lord, shit, I don't know if this is the one for me, but Lord, show me the way. Lord, if it's just a job, I don't understand if this is a job. These people drive me crazy on this job, Father. Show me if this is a job. If there's another job, show it to me. Put me in a position where I can meet somebody. See, that's prayer. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, you're right. Also, when prayer no longer becomes a chore, you will begin to receive the desires of your heart. I believe now that scripture said God will give you desires of your heart. I believe that doesn't take place until you know how to have prayer in a delightful way. Not as a last minute thing or making God your little personal genie or what have you. I believe when God sees your heart pure, as we talked about, and you begin to pray and pray honestly, your desires begin to show up. Could it be our desires haven't arisen because our heart ain't been in the right place? I'll never forget it. When Pastor started LTMA and he started traveling, doing his thing with the churches and all that kind of stuff, when he first started, I wasn't traveling. So I'll never forget he said something to me one day, one of the 12, he challenged me. He said, I ain't seen you on the road. I said, man, I can't get on the road. I don't have the resources. So I talked to Pastor one day. He said, you want to travel? I said, yes, sir. I thought you were going to say, I get on a plane with him. I lied. I did. Oh, no, here you go. You put him on the team. I can trap. He said, let God know that's your desire. And when you let him know it's your desire, he'll make it happen. So I'm like, okay, Lord. So I began to pray, made that desire. It wasn't even a week later. The shop I was working at, the barbershop, caught a fire. I said, okay, Lord. Now I knew I ain't going to be traveling. I got to find a desert for that. But lo and behold, I'm going to get back to this. Lo and behold, we're talking about desire, praying. A young man that owned another shop around the corner, he knew how the shop had been there 52 years. The old man that used to own it died. We were just still running it. He said, well, look, I got 3 chairs over there. Y'all use those chairs till y'all find out what you're going to do with your building. And then whatever, we give all the other money and stuff later on. I said, okay, cool. So we went over there and I began to cut hair, blah, blah. Yeah, we was doing good. So me being me, I do what I normally do. If I was at my own shop, I start dumping trash, sweeping up hair, wiping the countertop down, cleaning the bathroom, put my gloves on, mother working in the hospital, wiping all the toilet seats down. So people start coming in and saying, when y'all got a new owner? I said, man, I'm not no owner. He's no owner. I'm just, you know, he said, that's just him. He just do that. Lo and behold, 2 months later, young man say, I don't want this bill no more. You buy it for me? I say, what you talking? He gave me some old crazy number. I say, man, what? This ain't no Fantastic Sam or Paul Mitchell or what are you talking about? He said, well, you can have my name. I say, your name? You ain't got no name? I'll take the lease over and give you a little money for your little equipment. That's about all I can do. He said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, I can't do that either. Long story short, I got the building. So we had all of a sudden now, I go from cutting in the shop to shop burnt down. I told God what my desire was. God put a position down. I ain't talking about a little building. So when we took over, we got six barbers, and at the time had 6 beauticians. And then on the other side of the building, I had another 1,100 square feet that we rented out to a boutique. And then another 200 or 300 square feet in the back that anybody else could have rented for like a little tax business or something like that. Can I tell you something? I ain't missed the meeting this year. Do you see me? What I'm saying is, when you begin to pray and pray properly and not see prayer as a chore, now the desires you have can begin to take effect. I couldn't conceive shop burned down. How shop burned down equal you getting the shop? All right. The Holy Spirit will birth in you desires to pray. Jesus. The Holy Spirit will birth in you the desire to pray. But how that's going to happen? Yes, Lord. Internet, anybody calling me, that's my time. I ain't crazy. And I'm going to tell you how that's going to happen next week. God bless y'all.